W4 QMF in the mobile.
Tahoe Grant and 3WZQ.
Good afternoon, Wes. This is W4 QMF. What are you up to this afternoon?
Well, not a whole lot. That's my day off, so playing around the radio a little bit. Taking it easy while I can.
Well, it's a beautiful day to take it easy, that's for sure. I'll tell you what a gorgeous afternoon, perfect temperatures. Yeah, we're actually getting a little bit of spring this year, so that's a good thing. Yeah, had a pretty good day. Got to work outside a little bit and enjoy the porch there a little bit after lunch. So, yeah, we had a good day.
Yeah, last time I went outside, I was surprised it was only 73 instead of 83, because we had a couple warm days there over the weekend.
I had a customer in from Ohio today, and when he talked to his wife this morning, she said it was 39 degrees at his house. So, yeah, this is much better than that.
Wow, that feels like winter compared to what we got.
Yep, I don't think we have to complain about this. We'll take all the days like this we can get. So, if you're playing revenue today, did you make any neat contacts, or you just playing?
Yeah, just playing around listening, scrolling. I kind of got in here too late to get on the VFN, but I was up here on this computer most of the evening and working with Matt. See if we can figure out if anything's going on with his mobile or antenna or anything. And really, all the things we tried, I just got a feeling that his location and propagation, because he tried other things, like he went through his node, he's got a node set up at the house. And other than, you know, being short range because the antenna's not that high, I didn't hear any breakups, you know, or any kind of static where, well, you know, if you got a loose connection on your antenna, every once in a while you'll get a sound that sounds like somebody ruffling tinfoil, making that kind of static. But I'm not hearing that. I think it's just he's on the edge of a repeater in some places where he travels.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you. I think it's certain areas he travels through are just really bad propagation. The thing that puzzles me is how that can be. He is so close to that King George repeater, he's almost underneath the antenna. I can't imagine he can't get full quiet into that repeater right there in Dalton. It's just that's crazy.
Yeah, because Mark was over there. Of course, you know, I don't know if Mark was traveling the same road. But Mark's pretty solid. You know, you do get mobile clutter when you're driving through the highways and up and down hills and trees and things and buildings affect your 2-meter signal. But, Mark was, a little more solid than Matt was. And there are some locations Matt's just, 100%. So it's, kind of hard to explain. But, the King George repeater is in what we call a fish bowl. It's got a good 10-mile circle around it, but the train outside of that rolls off. So you have that to deal with, And Matt says where he lives, he's at low elevation as well. So between low elevation and trees, he's probably just having a difficult time. And he's got the antenna gutter mounted or something, and I'm not sure. That's what he said he was, I guess that's a good connection.
I'm not exactly sure what he's got for a setup there. It may just be that location is flanked, by the tower or something. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing, since the way he moved that LaPlata link, we've lost a few areas over here. There's some areas I drive through now going to work that I can't get into any of the repeaters.
Yeah, I know when I drove over, last time I went over to work place with my pickup truck, because at the time I had a tri-band antenna on a backbone. And you're right, you go down over that hill and you can barely hear the repeater, barely get into it, so you get back out in the flat a little bit, back out in the open. So yeah, that definitely made a shadow area for everyone. M3W's in you.
Yeah, if you ever pass it to Wayne, tell him, we need to put that one back. that lost a few areas overhead. But repeater we used to go to the Virginia phone net meeting, that Walkerton repeater, if we could talk to them people, maybe get that tied into our system there, then we'd have something. Have you used that repeater yet? Man, it works good.
I'm sorry, I missed it. What repeater are you talking about?
It's called the Walkerton repeater. It's south of Tappahannock. And, man, does that thing, it seems to work good all the way from Richmond to Tappahannock. Up there, I can talk to it from my house. Yeah, it's a great repeater. I guess it's antenna's up on the police station tower down there.
Okay, I don't recall using that repeater before, but interesting, okay. What if it's one I could hit from up here?
Yeah, you have to try it. I believe it's 146-74 OPSO.
So repeat the frequency again.
Okay, I told you wrong. It is 146-715. 146-715.
Okay, I'll have to scroll over there and see if I can get into that repeater. I know I had that repeater pair programmed in this radio. I might scroll over and see if I can get in.
It's the W4TTO, a Whiskey 4 Tango Tango Lima repeater. And yeah, we needed something for the Virginia phone net meeting to people that were driving into Tappahannock, and the None of our system would cover Tappahannock well enough to tell anybody to use it. So Joe Neal told me about this repeater, and so a bunch of us tried it, and doggone, it covers a whole big area. Like I said, all the way from 95, you know, or Richmond there, over to Gloucester, and coming up this way, even Phil and I could talk to it from our houses. So it covered range. The antenna must be pretty high on that tower down there at the state police building.
Okay, yeah, I just gave it a try, and I couldn't get into it from here, but that's, you know, I'm a good distance here from Waldorf to go there, but well, cool. Yeah, I guess next time I travel that way, then I know I got an option that way. I see, N3WW.
Yep, yeah, give it a try. I was impressed with how well it worked, and like I said, everybody coming to our meeting there at Virginia Phone Net used it, and man, we put it through its paces. I had a lot of people on there, and it worked very well for us.
Okay, very good. Yeah. I need to get back with Dwayne. It's been a couple weeks. One thing after another, you know, schedule's not matching. I'm going to try to do something there on the Plata and Brandywine are the two hot spots that we want to try to fix. What we're curious about, the Plata remote site needs to be put in at Brandywine, but that's going to be a 450. It may or may not fix that shadow, or maybe not as, because it'll play a spot, the angle of where it's coming through the valley towards your workplace is perfect. Being in Brandywine, it'll be about 10 miles north, but higher. And there may be a small shadow there, but it'll be brief, you know, like, you know, half mile to a mile, where right now it's almost the whole hill's gone. That was one of the plans, and then something else going on in a plate of it won't work. But that's future stuff. It just seems like, you know, trying to get together with him at the same time he's available on the same and mom are available. It's been happening a lot lately. Back to you, 3WNU.
Yeah, that Laplata site, when it was up, was it was taking up the Colonial Beach area and Oak Grove down there where I work and on down towards Tappahannock. So that area now is, like I said, it's through the shadow now. Yeah, if you're in Colonial Beach, you can't get to anything anymore. Or it's Oak Grove. It's just, it's a dead spot now. My tower's not on the 895, it's not high enough to get that area. The 745 King George can't get over the ridge to get to it, so it's too far away for the 350, so it doesn't work in there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and the remote site we put up in Bowie is on the outer, kind of just out there, pretty far up the road. And it works, but there's not a lot of hands up that way that work the 3.5 repeater. So it's a possibility that the remote site buoy may be moved to another location. We got right now, we got buoy and Lexington Park main site, your repeater, and King George. And you're right, we need to put something back in the Plata area. The Brandywine may cover most of what Lexington Park covers. The only thing is it's 10 miles further up the road, north. But once we get up back in Plata, all that'll be fixed again.
Yep. All fun stuff. You gotta know you try it. See what happens. That's what makes it interesting. Anyway, well, that's gonna say 7-3 to you. I'm pulling in my driveway here, so gotta get out and see what Rita's got going on. We'll talk to you a little later. N3WZU, this is W4GMF.
Okay, Grant. Yep. I'll catch you a little bit later on. N3WZU.
K3CWS.
How's it going, N3WZU?
Oh, not too bad, Wes. Can't complain. Beautiful day here. Just listening to Grant talk about the different things and whatnot. Kind of interesting. I know I have a battle here where I'm at Dunkirk. It's fighting between the buoys and the buoys and letting me prefer this thing. So that would be kind of interesting if it was moved.
Yeah, I think you're over the ridge a little bit, or over the hill a little bit. That makes it very difficult. The only fix is for something like this, but if it's extremely high, we're getting on echo link. I mean, if you can't see the repeater, it's really difficult. And I know some people put up beams and put out a bunch of power, but you still have to hear it as well.
Yeah, that's exactly true there. I was living further down in Calvert. I noticed, even when I got closer to Prince Frederick and some of the valleys,
talked about that option. What was going on is we had other repeaters that had, you know, minimal range. So what they decided to do is use the UHF hub and bring them together on that hub instead of trying to do the phasing thing. And we talked about that, and it can be done, but you know, I think it was quicker and easier to do it this way and have it come through a hub and then have your remote sights come through the motor. Back to entry, that's it.
Okay, yeah, right on. Yeah, it's definitely quicker here. And it's tricky. Yeah, I think to get that stuff all dialed in, I mean, that's really how most public safety systems work. You know, I don't, regardless if they're, you know, on the digital, if it's a little bit more challenging because with the digital, you have multiple different paths and you're simulcasting, you can take it as all that. Computers. So it's a little bit easier to reset again. thing, you know, it's not just that data. So you gotta make sure that data is all flowing at the same time, at the same way. That's what I understand, one of the more challenging aspects of doing a little digital thing with D25, maybe 3QS.
Yeah, and the digital kind of helps a little bit, you know, with that kind of thing where you have, you can have, you know, multiple signals on that input. What, you know, happens there is the best signal wins, and if you're not heard, you'll try again. On analog, every two people talk, and you get the, of course, the best signal wins, but you can hear that something else is with your signal, and whoever the net controller is or whoever's listening can say, yeah, okay, so-and-so, I heard what you said, but there was somebody under you, or I heard some heptagon. Who was that? And then, you know, get them to come back in. With the digital system, I believe, either you're heard, well, you're heard or you're not. You know, I'm not sure if the public safety system needs to have everything digital. I like the idea of the option of having both. Your analog and your, you know, digital, because I know they had to go digital for some more privacy issues that they had to deal with. But, you know, on the community band, I was, you know, talking to somebody earlier, and they, you know, different times of the day and night, you may or may not get in from the same location, whether it's interference or propagation issues. So, you know, sometimes you're right on the edge, and one minute you're good, the next minute you're not.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges with digital that I don't, I'm not really a big fan of digital for public safety communication. I understand the reason behind it on both sides of the coin, but especially in the fire service, you know, we already have a lot of background noise, so that digital radio is trying to pick our voice out of, you know, background noise, which on the analog side, you can do it if they pay attention. But on the digital side, you have, you know, the radio trying to do it, and it doesn't always work. You know, you have sirens and saws and motors and all kind of stuff in the background. So I'm not really a fan of digital for the fire service. And I've heard, you know, law enforcement kind of say the same thing. You don't get the tone and then the guy's voice to understand, you know, the urgency of what he's saying. You know, it's just left out. Reset. But as far as the digital, you know, on the ham frequencies and what we do in amateur radio, I think it's pretty awesome. You know, the way we're able to link things together is pass data. I'm actually trying to get set up to a point where I can receive data or pictures or whatever, you know, through DSTAR, DMR, and over HF, you know, just in case the need arises. If I want to pull a weather satellite map off of something, you know, I can pull it up on a laptop or whatever. But, you know, I guess they have their place everywhere.
Yeah, true. That's, and D-Star, you know, that's spongy stuff. Me and another guy tried to send pictures, you know, through D-Star, in whatever mode, I forgot what it was, but it was so long ago. And it requires a very good, solid signal, because D-Star does not do error correction. Something like AX25 protocol back in the day when I was doing the packet, you could send small files, and they could be a small, it's a very small picture file, and there was limits to that. But with the error correction protocol, in the protocol, it would send out a certain amount of size of packets, and then it would stop transmitting. And the other station would say something like, you know, I got it, send more, or did not get it, resend. And the problem with D-Star, it doesn't have that. It sends it, and the other side receives it, and either receives it or don't. Some of the other protocols are better than that, but it's fun to do. I've done it, and, but when it comes to voice communication, we're leaning back towards going analog with everything and getting out of the digital, as far as digital voice, other than some bit of a privacy thing, there's no real advantage to the digital.
Yeah, I agree. I have actually very limited use on my CSR radio. I think I've maybe made two contacts on it, and I actually have to send it back to get the service. And when I reprogrammed it, when it came back, I don't know if I didn't do something right, but it's just something I haven't really followed up on. I listen, but it doesn't even seem that active anymore. And then I listen to usually DMR on an online feed somewhere. Anyway, so, but I will agree that the analog being better for voice communication. I know how they've sold them lately, in the name of interoperability and things and all that, but I think at the end of the day, with a political election, Motorola just like it on radio, that they have to replace every 5 years. 15.5 is a big thing for law enforcement, and with the increasing capabilities, but, that technology is only as good as the bad guys' technology, and they're finding ways to defeat the encryption now, too. So, that's not exactly a selling point all the way, but it is what it is. Well, I like our old UHF analog system we had at Prince George's. It worked great, and I don't know, I guess they hacked or created the KC3 CYF.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, somebody create encryption and somebody else will come along behind it and decode it, so. But that's been going on forever, how to break it through a code. Because like right now you're actually being voted between two spots, one side you're better than the other. But through the noise, I hear your voice. This was D-Star and possibly any other digital modes. I hear Moto Turbo does a little better job of decoding poor signals better than D-Star. I think P25 is another one that does better than D-Star. But the level of some of the noise that's on your signal now, if we were digital, I probably wouldn't hear you at all. Back to you, 3WZN.
Yeah, that's beautiful for you. I'm outside of the buggy with the next to the truck with the mic, but I'm not moving. And that's what's weird. Sometimes I'm thinking between Bowie and Prince Frederick receiver, probably with this being voted. But the only thing is that Firefly stuff, I was doing the radio portion of it and explaining to guys, the difference between analog and digital, just the basics. We were showing the power section about talking to analog section, because the tool pull out the computer here. And digital, you really know the thing, because they're talking to the digital signal, it's either there or it's not. Just so the guys knew what was going on. It is what it is, and the power is above us to control that stuff, so.
Yeah, that's true. Alright, man, let me get off here. I'm going to go grab me something to eat here. I'm starting to fade, but good to catch up with him. Maybe we'll catch you later. Clear up your final, N3WZ.
I'm good, Wes. Yeah, always a pleasure. Appreciate you, so I'll grab something to eat as well, and hope I'm here.